in our life as we live in this world, that, Lord, only you can speak that peace and bring that peace to troubled hearts and lives. And, Father, we come to you tonight. I come to you, Lord, asking you. I come as in sackcloth and ashes, Lord, as humbly as I can, asking, God, that you would minister your word to us tonight. I pray, God, that you will once again please take these feeble lips of clay, God, and speak through them the truth of your word, that each and every one of us can grasp what you have in store for us and what you would have us to know and to understand. And I pray, Father, tonight, I pray, Lord, that the very sense of your peace would dominate this place and we could understand and recognize and be challenged by the Spirit of God tonight to recognize and to realize, oh God, what you have made possible for all those who will trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I thank you, oh God, for that which you have done. I look to you for what you're going to do. And I pray, Lord, especially at this season of the year as we band together as believers, Lord, as we have a message to relate to the world that Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. And the gospel, the good news of the gospel is foundation there. And we see it in the cross and what Jesus did there. And Father, tonight, would you just magnify yourself? Would you glorify yourself? Would you make known your will for each of us? And we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and glory. Amen. Amen. As we look at the passage and as we look at the outline, as I put on this board, we need to realize that the promise, there is a promise peace. And when we think about the promise peace, it came from a prince. And that's what the scripture says there, is it not? In verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So to whom is it given? When we understand the recognize this, we see that there's the promised peace from the Prince of Peace, and it's a ruler, and the prince means it's a ruler of a domain or a dominion. In other words, the ruler of this kind of peace, he's going to bring about what is necessary for his constituents to know and to understand what peace is all about. To whom was it promised? If you back up to 2 and 3, you see that. Look with me at verses 2. It says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy, their joy before thee, according to the joy that of in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoils." But look down, but look what it says there also when it talks about the dimness in verse 1. "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not," he talks about those D words, dimness, darkness, and then there's "who dwell in death, in the shadow of death." And when we look at this, we see, because it speaks to those who are in desperation. And let me tell you something, if there's ever been a desperate time in our world today, it is here and now. And we need to understand that in the process of God's overall scope and dimension for life and living in his plan for humankind, that he wants them to have peace. He wants us to know peace. He wants to be a part of our life in and through bringing that peace. And therefore, we can look at it. If we apply that today, the reason we don't is, brother, I'll be brought up this morning, many don't appropriate the things of God. They do not ask God. They do not appropriate that which God has already made possible and available. If you remember the fruit of the Spirit and Paul talking about this, he uses that word peace, love, joy, and peace. And the aspect there is when we come to understand and recognize God has peace for every child of God, every believer, and therefore we can look at that. So there is the promise of the peace, but there's also the person of peace, and this is the most important aspect of it, because see, Isaiah speaks of it as an embodied peace, not some far-fetched idea, not some concept, not something that you dream up or something that people come together and they try to concoct in their own thinking and in their own, I guess we say, military strategies. They cannot bring the kind of peace that the Bible is speaking of here, because it cannot and will not happen. Here it is in the person. It is the embodied peace. How will it be recognized? This peace will reign with power. The terminology there, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the term there, can also be the very essence of power. The very power of God, if you please, will reign. And it refers to Jesus. It refers to Jesus, and it refers, if you've got a Bible that has a reference Bible, it also refers to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18, where Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." He didn't say some. He didn't say most. He didn't say much. But he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The dominion of the one who brings peace has all power. And we can rest assured that if he has all power, we can put our faith and trust in him, because he has everything under control. Bless God. When we look at this, when we understand what he's talking about, it is the very embodiment of peace. The term government, as we looked at, it refers to all power or all authority on earth. Verse 7 speaks of universe beyond, even to the heavenlies. The two terms there is used. He used government in verse 6, but he uses government in verse 7. And this speaks beyond anything the world has. Anything that we can see, touch, taste, smell, or hear, anything in this world, it reaches beyond that, because it goes to the next realm. And that is the very essence of the fullness of the universe, even to the heavenlies. And so we can rest assured that he is the one, the embodiment of peace, and Jesus is the one that has everything under his control, and we can trust in him. I thank God for that tonight. How about you? Oh, when we think about our prayer, when we just go to the model prayer, we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is," where? In heaven. Why do we pray that? We pray for the reign and the rule of God to take place on the earth as it is in heaven. But let me tell you something. I believe when Jesus spoke those words, he wanted us to recognize, if mankind would surrender and submit to him for who he was, that the rule and the reign of God is a present reality to fill the earth with his peace. You look at it for just a moment. Here, go back to the teachings of Jesus, and you see the very embodiment of every aspect of God's love, every attribute. You want to see more of God? Just look at Jesus. And what he's saying is, when we understand Jesus' desire is for when our lives are linked with him in the proper relationship, our lives are going to make an impact in the world in which we live. If it don't, friend, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Look at it. Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus is the personification of the only lasting peace. The only lasting peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. A prince rules from a throne. Did you know that? He has a dominion and he rules from a throne. If Jesus then is the embodiment of peace, and we have him in our heart, in our life, then he is ruling from the throne of our hearts and our lives. Is he not? Am I right or am I wrong? But see, the problem is so many times that little throne in our heart, We've got that throne in our heart, and we put ego back up there, and Jesus is in the forefront, in the background. And we get in all kind of trouble because everything is blown out of proportion. But when we allow him to rule and reign from the throne of our heart, the throne of our life, let me tell you, everything will work out, and there will be not only peace in our heart, but peace in the things that we do and go about to do. This one rule from our hearts, and they in turn rule the affairs of men. Let that sink in for just a moment. I believe that's what the term Christian means, is it not? You take the word Christian, it is a noun, but it's also an adjective. It is a noun from a standpoint of it speaking of a person. A person. I am a Christian. We pride ourselves in being a Christian. Why? Because see, the term Christian in the very forefront has Christ in it. And we are to have Christ in our hearts and our life. And He is to rule from our hearts. But it's also an adjective. And an adjective that speaks of something that is carried out and something that is done. Therefore, we need to be involved in carrying out the work part of being a Christian, do we not? Glory, hallelujah. This might get good in a minute. When we think about the action and the activity of a Christian, because see, how is the world, just answer this, how is the world going to know the peace that the Bible speaks of? Do you think they're going to pick up the book and they're going to read and study that? Huh? How are they going to know this kind of peace that dominates the life of individuals, that captivates our lives, that controls our lives, that causes our lives to be different, if you please, than the rest of the world? Did not Jesus say that? That we're going to be different? You're going to be a peculiar people? You're going to, in other words, your life is going to be dramatically different than the rest of the world. Why? Why? Because if we have Him in our heart and the very essence of Him and who He is, the love He shows and shows forth, the peace that He gives to us on the inside. And let me tell you something. When you have peace on the inside, it makes no difference what the world throws at you. See, because the issue has been settled once and for all. Whew. So, the very embodiment of peace. But who then is the recipients of this peace? They are different from those in the scripture we talked about. They're different because see, Isaiah was writing to them and he was telling them of Him to come. And of course, we know that God worked in the circumstances of their life and in His timetable as they went into bondage. Yes, He delivered them, give them rest, give them ease, but that was not peace. That was not peace. That might have been peace from the things of the outside world affected them. And we've lived in a time of peace. But I got news for you, folks. We're moving in right now. We're moving into the realm of chaos and troubles as a believer, as a child of God. You can. I'm not a prophet. Don't claim to be. But you can mark my word on that. We see the things that's going on. Lord have mercy. Just Washington this past week. Did you see that on television? Where they changed the whole stratus of the marriage license. It don't say husband and wife or bride and groom. It says spouses. Spouses means whatever it wants to mean. That means you can't say mother and father anymore. You got to say parent. It doesn't mean you can say brother and sister anymore. You got to say sibling. See, we got it all messed up. Let me tell you something. That's going to affect the whole world, our whole society. And here we are, cannot wait for something like that to get started. Sit back on our holy haunches and do absolutely nothing. We're living in troubled times and perilous times, and it's going to get worse and worse, I'm afraid, my friend. Who then is the recipients of this peace? They were responded of the goodness of God. They responded to the blessings of God, and God gave them favor, as I said a while ago, in the people, in the lands, and where they were. Give them kind of a false sense of peace. A false sense of peace from outward problems and destruction and chaos and things like that. I'm talking about from the enemy. But see, it did not give them real peace because they could not know real peace until the Messiah comes on the scene. They responded to Him in faith, yes. They responded to Him and they recognized, because He is coming, I can have peace. But let me tell you something, He's come and tonight you and I can have peace. Real peace, lasting peace. I'm talking about the biblical peace. So there's a difference. But it is a promise to those who will respond to Him, period. Did you hear that? The promise, if we think about the promises of God, you take any of the promise of God. We talked about this morning in Sunday school class, over 2,003 promises in the Word of God. And those promises, many of them are given to individuals, to nations. Some of them refers back to the Old Testament. I know that. We can't claim some of those. But some of them we can. But the thing about it is they respond to our life and they challenge our life. But the thing about it is a promise, God makes a promise, and He makes a promise to those who will respond to Him in faith, F-A-I-T-H. Every promise of God is conditional by our faith. Did you know that? Conditional by our faith. So when we look at this, we see God has made the promise. He made possible the promise. And those who respond to the promise are those who respond to Jesus Christ. Back up in chapter 7, verse 14, he says, "Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Is that very unusual? Not that a woman bears a son, but that a virgin bears a son, that's very unusual. It's just about biologically impossible. She's a virgin. How can she bear a son? We know the story, do we not? As Paul Harris says, we know the rest of the story. But look what it says. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel." Brother Orville, that song a while ago, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. My, his name is called Emmanuel, meaning God. The very essence of the holy, righteous God has tabernacled with us, and it's come in the form of peace and what Jesus is as peace. I want you to turn with me just a moment to John's Gospel. This is in closing tonight. John's Gospel. When we think about peace, what is peace? What did Jesus talk about peace? He talked about peace. Look in chapter 20 with me, please. I believe it is. John 20. Look in verses 11. If you look at this, John 20 and 21, Jesus dealt with four major issues or four things that we face in life, and He wanted us to know that we can have the victory over them. And I want you to listen very closely. We can have victory over this because, see, He alone banishes all of these. He's done away with all of these. If you know Him as peace, in chapter 20, verse 11, it says, "But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre." Jesus deals with sorrow. Look in verse 15. It says there, "And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto, "Sir, if you have borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Those comforting words, Mary, that word Mary. And she responded, "Rabboni," which means my master, my teacher. And see, Jesus here is telling Mary, there is absolutely no reason to have sorrow of heart if you have peace in your heart. I'm talking about the sorrow, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, sorrow as the world sorrows. He deals with sorrow. And then in 20 verse 19, look at it with me just a moment. This same chapter, here he's dealing with the disciples. Verse 19, he says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." That's the reason they were there. They were afraid because the Jews was going to do them just like they had done Jesus. "For fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them." And what did He say? "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." Here, they were afraid. Fear. Fear and faith cannot be tabernacled in the same person and have victory in life. Because, see, let me tell you something. Fear will dominate faith, or faith will dominate fear. There's no two ways about it. Here He told those disciples, He spoke peace unto them because of the fear of their very heart. If He is there, if the Prince of Peace is there, there should be no fear. And then Thomas, look in verse 26 and 27. It says here, "And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them." And what did He say again? Peace be unto you, or peace be unto you. Then look what it says. And he saith unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless or doubting. We've called him Doubting Thomas. Here he wants to see the evidence, and Jesus says, I am the evidence. Thrust it in my side and be not faithless, but believing. See, doubt. let me tell you something. I believe that the majority of Christians today are defeated because of doubt in their life as a believer. When we need to take the admonition that Jesus gave to Thomas, Thomas, just look for me and allow my peace to incorporate your life and take care. And then in chapter 21, verse 5 and 6, look at that with me. Here it is. It says, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. I believe that if we look at this very close and you study this chapter, starting in verse 1 of chapter 21, Peter goes back to fishing. He carries those other disciples with him, and he says them other six disciples they go with, and it's probably for their families and their livelihood, because here, this one they had been following. They had seen him put to death. They had seen him come forth from the grave. They had seen him ascend back to the Father, and they say, now it's time to get on with life as usual. Go back to what we were doing. We got to make a livelihood. And I think that's what Jesus is saying here to them. He says, I'll take care of you. Did you know, and I thought about this as I studied this and looked very close at it. Did you know that anything that originates in the carnal and in the flesh, that it cannot be blessed. It will be fruitless. Anything. I don't care what it is. But if we do it as we should, as we listen to the Master, as they listen to the Master. Hey, they caught a whole multitude of fish. Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus wants us to know that He's the one that can take care and provide for us when and if we will trust Him with our lives. Amen? Listen to the Master. Listen to the Master, and we'll have a fruitful life. I believe that's why Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he called it the gospel of peace also in Romans 10, verse 15. The gospel of peace, the good news of peace Jesus wants to bring. That is why he preached it. That's why he talked about it. In Philippians 2:7, he said, and the peace of God which passes some understanding. No, it didn't say that. It says all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. In other words, what he's saying there, it will keep your heart. If you have the peace of God ruling and reigning in your heart and from your heart, there is a sentry before your heart to keep you as a vessel before God, as open before God, and He guards our heart. He helps us in every aspect and every situation in life. And I believe that's what Paul is talking about here. He shall guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace. He is our peace. 2 Thessalonians states something. It says this, and we need to mark it. Turn there just a moment. Mark it with me. 2 Thessalonians. Very important. This is a good, boy, if you're fixing a Christmas card or writing somebody a Christmas card, this is a good scripture to put out at the bottom of it because of what it says. Look what it says. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16. Easy to remember, John 3:16. This is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. It states, now the Lord of peace himself, talking about a person, give you peace sometimes. Is what it says? Huh? Always by some means. Huh? Did that register with you? Did that register? Now the Lord of peace himself, speaking about the person of him who he is, Jesus Christ, give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Glory, hallelujah. When we think about the prophecy of peace, Jesus being the personification of that peace, and Jesus coming for the purpose to bring peace to mankind in the world. I'm talking about real peace, as Paul says here, that which the world cannot give, does not have anything to compare close to it. He can give us the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, do we need that today? Do we need that today? And let me tell you something. You cannot have it apart from Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never responded to Jesus Christ, I will assure you by the authority of the Word, you cannot know this peace or come anywhere knowing this peace until you know the person of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. When you invite Him into your heart, you've invited the very personification of peace within your being, and God's peace will rule from your heart. God help us. God help us. I wanted to do this thing, but I'm going to read this psalm verse anyhow. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Not there, but in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river down in my soul. Have you got that peace tonight? If you do not, you can before you leave this place. By realizing that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, realizing that's why Jesus came and gave his life on a cruel cross. He took your place. He became your substitute. And he wants you to know that he loves you. And he speaks that from the cross when he said, "It is finished." Salvation has been made possible for every man, woman, boy, and girl, those who will respond to him. Would you do that? Let's pray together. Father, we are so indebted to you and thankful tonight for your blessed word and how you speak to us from and out of your word. Lord, we realize that you desire peace, real peace, lasting peace, eternal peace, glorious peace for those who will respond to you as Lord and Savior. And Father, tonight I pray that if there's one here that has never trusted you, that this would be the day of salvation for them. They would respond to you and they would come to know the reality of you and peace that only you can give. Father, do that which only you can. And even now, oh God, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name, amen. Hymn of invitation, hymn of commitment.